Aaron Vickers from NHL.com, friend of the program. He is a usual featured guest on our media roundtables.
He's a good human.
And a good all-round human being. His wedding is in August. I'm looking forward to that. Hello, Vickers. How is Slovakia?
That's a lot of sucking up you're doing right there. But Slovakia is pretty top-notch, I got to say. It's never disappointing to come over and get the opportunity to watch this tournament live.
Okay. Now, take us behind the curtain. How did this all begin? When did you very first go overseas, and how many of these have you now been to?
This is third in a row. The first one would have been Paris/Cologne, Germany, right after the Calgary Flames, I believe, were swept in four by the Anaheim Ducks that season. It was one of those situations, and it's kind of funny because I think right before Locker Cleanout Day, I emailed my editor saying, I don't feel like my season's done. Do you have any interest in having some coverage at the Worlds? And then Johnny Gaudreau the next day said he was going to Worlds because he didn't feel like his season should be done. So it's definitely something that's sort of evolved into an annual trip based on the participation of the Calgary Flames in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So when they're not active anymore, I start booking flights and Airbnbs and head over to Europe.
So where are you right now?
I'm in media workroom number 2 at Steel Arena in Košice.
Okay, so you're in Košice right now. Give us a little bit of a scene set. Slovakia is hosting the World Championships this year. Where have you been? Where are games? Where are the host cities? Like, give us a scene set because, you know, we're 8 time zones away.
Well, I think we're having comparable weather if I check Calgary's forecast, right? It's been rainy the entire time here. Košice is hosting Group A. Bratislava, which is where I've been for the duration of the tournament until today, is hosting Group B, and they'll host the medal rounds as well. Rainy, dreary weather. It hasn't been the 30 degrees that Copenhagen was last year, but I think we're surviving over here. And the atmospheres, again, I say it every year when I'm on with you guys from here, but the crowds here are incredible, whether it was Great Britain of all teams, Czech Republic being right next door to Slovakia. Their crowds are huge in Bratislava, and then, of course, we're in the second intermission right now between Slovakia and Germany, and Slovakia actually just scored 2 power play goals in the last 5 minutes of that period, I think it was, and that place is just erupting too. So in terms of atmosphere, it's almost second to none for anything I've been a part of.
Kate, we were talking about this yesterday. For us in Canada, and I think in North America, the World Juniors, the Olympics, those are the tournaments that are cared about most because it's where you get true best on best from a Canadian or American perspective, right? Whereas the World Championships or the U18s, you don't always get that because Canada doesn't send their best players, all their best players, to those tournaments. But for countries like Slovakia, for countries like Switzerland or Great Britain or whoever it may be, like this is a true World Championships, and this is the big deal for these countries. And I think that I can't really get the feel from that because I've never been to one. You've been to 3. Like, how big a deal is this for a lot of these European countries?
Oh, all you need to do really is just sit in the stands or even just in the media tribune that they have set up here, and you can just hear the passion. And it's funny. I go back to the Czech game against Sweden to open the tournament, and Czech fans were cheering absolutely every play, regardless of how small it was. And it's not a, we don't know what to cheer for kind of cheer. It's, they're so passionate about every little element of the game that, you know, a save, it doesn't matter how routine a save, that goalie's getting cheers like you wouldn't believe in, or for a round robin tournament opening game. Just the passion that they have. Like you said, this is truly an elite tournament for a lot of countries. And even though it isn't true best on best for the majority of the teams in this tournament, it's nonetheless, the fans don't care. It's a world championship through and through, and they're going to celebrate it as such.
How big a deal is this for, I mean, you go take a look at it. There are 16 countries in this. You've got Great Britain who returns to the main pool, other non-hockey powerhouses like France and Italy. Tell us about these countries. And I know that you haven't seen Great Britain or France, but Italy, Norway, Austria, these were countries that were in the pool that you were seeing in Bratislava. Like, how much does this mean to countries that we don't really think about being hockey powerhouses?
Well, here's the situation: is these countries are what Latvia was 10 years ago, or, you know, Belarus went down to the other group, but Belarus was emerging a little bit. And there's countries that are starting, like Switzerland. Let's take a look at Switzerland, for example. Switzerland won silver at this tournament last year. So those countries that you mentioned, obviously some are a little bit further along, like Italy and Great Britain aren't necessarily on the cusp. But you look at countries that are, you know, in order to elevate your program and in order to get that experience, you unfortunately sometimes have to take a shellacking from a Canada or the US or Russia or Sweden. But there are lessons to be learned in it. And as much as you don't want to sit there and watch an 8-0 game, I think Russia's up 8-0 on Italy right
yes,
now.
Yes, they are.
Those are big building blocks and big lessons for those countries and their steps for their program. And in the long run, we're going to see better hockey because of it.
With Aaron Vickers from NHL.com, he's at the IIHF World Championships in Slovakia. Let's get into the hockey that you've seen so far. So you were watching Group B action in Bratislava, and you have seen a couple of players that you covered during your other job with NHL.com and the Flames. Your observations of Michael Frolík and what he's done so far with a Czech Republic team that currently sits 2-0-1.
Yeah, Frolík's been really good in this tournament. And I talked to Robert Reichel actually briefly for a few moments and talking about Frolík and the impact he can have on this team. And he's playing upwards of 20 minutes a night in all situations, all roles, first power play, first line for the majority of the tournament. And he's really stood out as an impact player for a Czech team that beat Sweden in the opener. And then Frolík himself was named Czech player of the game in the second game. Actually got the award from Jaromír Jágr, so that was a nice little touch. But he's certainly been a difference maker, an impact player for the Czechs, and it's something we didn't necessarily see out of him in the regular season.
And then Elias Lindholm on the Swedish team. What have you seen from him?
I feel like he's still trying to find a little bit of traction on the larger ice. He was a part of the tournament 2 years ago, helped Sweden to gold in 2017. Sweden also won gold in 2018, captained by Michael Backlund, who isn't here. And, of course, Lindholm wasn't there last year. But I'm still waiting for him to blossom a little bit. He was the highest-scoring Swedish player in the NHL this season and hasn't necessarily translated the World Championship just yet. But he's still got some time to grow as this tournament emerges.
And he's currently playing, like, there was a lot of talk about whether or not he's going to play center or on the wing. He's been on the wing, correct?
Yeah, he's played primarily on the wing. I know he's doing the same platoon face-off situation that he did with Sean Monahan in the regular season, but primarily a winger. But he's also been used on the first power play unit in sort of the spot that trying to remember the righty-lefty, but he's playing on the off-wall, like in the area sort of where Johnny Gaudreau would play on the power play too, but being the right-hand shot, he's got the ability for the one-timer. So he's being used heavily on the power play as well as an offensive role, so it'll just be a matter of time before he gets the monkey off the bat, off his back, and puts one in the net.
Just a few more with Aaron Vickers from NHL.com. He's at the World Championships in Slovakia, where it is just after 10 p.m. local time. You're now off to cover some Group A action. That's the group that Canada and the United States are both a part of. But as you switch sites and switch the group of teams that you're watching, what jumps out at you from that A group? Who are you really excited to take a look at? Obviously Canada, but on top of that.
Well, for me, being of the future considerations background or draft guys coming out shortly, it's very fun to watch Jack Hughes. And I saw about a period of action from him today and looking forward to see Kaapo Kakko as well play. But in terms of teams, I'm actually kind of curious about this Finnish team. They've only got one NHLer on the roster, and yet they seem to be rolling pretty well to this point in the tournament. So if they can continue their momentum, It'll be curious to see what this group of sort of non-NHLers, a lot of relative unknowns, definitely a lot of players from the Finnish league, from the KHL. I'm actually kind of pretty curious about them. And then, of course, the host Slovak team as well, because anytime you're at a tournament, you pull for the host just because the fans are so great. So it'll be curious to see how the remainder of this round robin plays out.
Who's the team to beat? Who do we need to keep our eye on? Give us a future look as the tournament continues along.
Man, those Russians up front are scary. And like on one power play unit, they had Kucherov and Malkin, I believe. And the second one, they have Kuznetsov and Ovechkin. And I'm probably forgetting a couple impact players on those units. But it's just overwhelming when you can roll out one unit, and if it doesn't score, that over the boards comes Ovechkin as part of the second unit. So, it's hard to not like Russia. I feel like their defense might be a little bit thin, but I mean, they got Vasilevskiy in that as well. So, for me, Russia kind of got pegged as the favorite. Czechs did beat Sweden, but I feel like Sweden will get some momentum going and, find a little bit of their traction, and we'll see. And then again, I haven't seen much of this Group A action, but the USA has got a really young team, but a very skilled team. So I'm curious to get a better glimpse at what they might present. And again, watch some of their kids and watch some of these budding young NHL stars. That's the thing this year, and a couple players have said it. There were no NHL participation at the Olympics in 2018. So this 2019, I think, has attracted a fair bit of talent that, might be missing out on playing some international action. So this field here is actually pretty stacked. And, there's a lot of disappointed NHLers that season either ended at the turn of April or in the first or second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And, they want to enter their summer with something, to hang their heads high on. And this is the opportunity to do so.
Good stuff, Vickers. Get out of here. Appreciate the time. Go do the rest of your media obligations and enjoy your Tuesday night in Slovakia. Thank you, pal.
Is it? It's Wednesday.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's Wednesday. Enjoy your Wednesday in Slovakia.
All right, buddy. Have a good one.